what we do is we come in not with just a solution, but with a solution that is reliable and easy to use because we have that kind of technology. We know that kind of technology.
Hello and welcome to Caffeine and Commerce. I'm your host, Derek. And this podcast is produced by SRP Studios, podcast-powered branding for business growth. Visit srpstudiosllc.com for a free consultation. If you want to explore how your business can be featured on this podcast, kindly access the form link in the description area of this episode so we can get in touch and discuss the exciting opportunities available to showcase your business. Today's featured guest and business is Aaron Kozort, from Wisdom Integrators, that is. Wisdom Integrators is a trusted technology service provider in South Haven, Mississippi. Their services include broadcasting and media production, marketing services, web design, web hosting, and web management. With a deep understanding of various domains, they leverage their experience and expertise to providing cutting-edge solutions that surpass expectations.
It's a mouthful.
Their commitment to excellence drives them to constantly explore new avenues and deliver innovative client outcomes. You can reach them at 901-625-0900, and their website is wisdomintegrators.com. Just a couple tongue-tying situations Aaron.
We tell people, Google it. Google will autocorrect. You'll find us.
Aaron Kozort, everybody, my good friend. I wish I had the applause sound effect. But man, thanks for doing this.
Absolutely.
Good to see you.
We love being on here. We've loved getting to build a relationship with you. And I'll put my radio voice on and talk into the microphone.
Yeah, we keep it loose here. This is fun. This is all business podcast, but you know, we keep it fun here.
All right.
So yeah, context, we met through BNI.
Yes, stands for Business Networking International.
That's right. And also international in DeSoto County.
That's right.
So I belong to Hernando. You belong to the what's called BNI DeSoto, which is actually in Olive Branch.
It's in the Olive Branch area.
Yeah. We realized that we had some overlap in what we do and just become friends since. And this year you decided to do some work with me, and I appreciate that. So,
yeah.
So now here you are sponsoring your own episode. How about that?
Well, we like partnering with quality businesses. Yeah. And SRP is doing great things in the region, and you're a great voice. And so we got a chance to witness how you worked and how you interacted with others. We got to really see the impact of being able to tell stories. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's really important to us, and it's a concept that's kind of core to BNI, is that stories communicate, stories educate, stories help people grow.
Absolutely.
And so we watched the episode with Michael Ann Dillinger. And, this is a person that we already knew, had no idea. Yeah. She had a career as a truck driver.
Exactly.
In the past, you know. And
exactly.
You learn things about people through podcasts, especially. Podcasts have been a medium that we, as someone who consumes them,
yeah.
We've educated ourselves, we've learned, we've advanced in our business because of people who tell stories, educate others, and do so through podcasting.
I love it when my guest comes on and sells podcasting.
Absolutely. if relationships matter to your business,
yes,
podcasting is amazing.
Yes.
And that's why we've been itching to get the pieces together to really jump off with y'all, and we're excited about it.
And this year we're going to be starting one for you.
Absolutely.
Aren't we? Yeah.
Absolutely. So we're looking forward to an entire year of working together with SRP, yes, podcasting, educating, highlighting businesses, and being able to bring knowledge, expertise into a seat and tell stories.
I couldn't sell it any better, anyone watching and listening. So if you want to be on here, click that link in the description. We'll make it happen for you. So Wisdom Integrators. Wisdom Integrators. I'm going to flub that name up quite a few times. I don't know why, but tell us more about Wisdom Integrators.
So the company started in 2015. We've been around for a while, but we deal with technology and we deal with problems. We are primarily in most initial interactions with people a troubleshooting company. Mm-hmm. They're having a problem and they need a solution. And we come in and provide the solution. Sometimes that can be, we are in a desperate need for a solution and we need it immediately.
So what are these problems you're coming with solutions for?
So one of our areas of expertise is web design and web management, web hosting. Okay. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned there, you know, that's a mouthful. A lot of people are like, what do you mean? So just earlier this month, or the end of last month, I guess it was, we were doing some work and we got a phone call from a consultant out in South Carolina. And we had quoted a business, an oil business out in South Carolina, for a new website 6 weeks ago. They got a hold of us through the marketing consultant. They said, we have a problem. Our website is down and our CEO is on stage right now giving a presentation at a conference. And our website is broke. We don't know what to do. Like I said, we had quoted them a new website 6 weeks before. We could have had a new one up already, but they kind of dragged their feet.
Yeah.
But now it's a problem.
And at the worst time.
At the worst time. And so here we are. I was sitting at the South Haven Chamber of Commerce luncheon running the AV production. Secretary of State's about to get up on stage because we're about to get started. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, here's the deal. It's 11 o'clock on the East Coast right now, or whatever time it was. I said, if you get the details to me to log in by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll have your site back up by 5. And that gave them some time to work on it, gave me time to get out of the luncheon and get to a place where I could do it. Before it was all said and done, we had their IT department. They didn't know who had their domain. They didn't know where it was registered. They didn't know who was in control of it. They didn't know if the current host would pick up the phone and answer. And before it was done, we had the IT department, the IT company that they contract with, who had their domain. We had them on the phone and could knowledgeably talk to them. We had the former web host on the phone and we talked with her. And she said, well, the problem is we have a bill that hasn't been paid. So we said, how many months does it need to be paid for? So we worked with her, we found a solution, we bridged the gap, and at 3 hours after they sent us the phone number for the IT department, because they didn't have a login, we had the website back up.
Wow.
And
that's invaluable.
That is the nature of what we do. We build bridges, we partner, we build relationships, and we solve problems. Yeah. So we've been asked before to deal with a hacked website. How do we recover from that? How do we get a resolution from that? But sometimes it's just, hey, our web host is unresponsive. We wait 6 weeks to get anything posted. We can't scale. We don't have the expertise, or we don't even know what they're talking about every time we talk to them.
And if they have a merchant website, that's your business.
They're blocked. That's right.
Your sales are
blocked. You're losing your business because you can't communicate. One of the things that we focus on is speaking English and communicating well.
I could use help with that myself.
And being able to do so in a way that helps business owners feel comfortable about the technology in their business. All right. So the other side of the business is in audio video related things. My background is doing IT work and web work for broadcast television networks. Mm-hmm. So we have a decade plus experience in audio video production at a very intense scale. Mm-hmm. Event production, broadcast television.
Live streaming.
And we do that type of production ourselves, but we're also dealers for a number of major brands, Panasonic, Blackmagic Design, Rode, Shure, all the equipment that people you're watching this produced with, we're dealers for those brands.
You actually set up studios too.
We build studios. We build live streaming environments. We build conference rooms as far as the technology inside the conference room. And we also build, projection spaces, things like that, where somebody says, hey, I need a projector for presentation, or I need a projector for background things, things like that. LED walls. Those are all in our
LED
our
panels. Wheelhouse.
Yes. So LED panels, LED yep. walls. And how do you manage it? How do you control it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, when someone wants to improve how their business looks, or they want to make a presentation, but they're walking into maybe a rented space, and the rented space has some technology there, but they don't have any domain experts. They don't have anybody who knows how to run it well. And the person who's renting the space, their business is renting it for a reason. They want to make a sale. They want to make a deal. They want to make an impression. And they don't want to spend the first half of the meeting dealing with the technology.
Mm-hmm.
That's an opportunity for us to come in as they do the walkthrough with the space, know everything that that space owner is telling them about the technology, and make sure that when they come in to present, everything works. We do that for the Hernando Chamber of Commerce.
What a novel concept.
I know. As you would think the facility would do that, but they don't. That's not their area of expertise. We do that for the Hernando Chamber for their quarterly luncheons.
Yep.
We do it for the South Haven Chamber for their quarterly luncheons. We have done work with the amphitheater in South Haven and with a number of others around the region, Georgia mm-hmm. Blue in their event space. And we can come in and we can bring a projector. We can come in and we can bring a screen, or we can just make sure that things work when they're supposed to work.
I've witnessed our chamber luncheons firsthand, pre-Aaron and post-Aaron, okay? And what seemed like the problem was everything would be set up, but then the presenter would want to tap into his own computer, and that would shut everything down, and it'd be a mess. And there was one presenter, I felt bad for him. He had to just go on the fly. He had to ditch his slides, and he just had to speak. And that's unfortunate, and it's kind of embarrassing a little bit. Like,
yep.
this poor guy didn't, you know, he's sponsoring to be there, too.
Yep.
You know, but you've solved that problem.
and what we do is we come in not with just a solution, but with a solution that is reliable and easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just recently we had the opportunity to work with the chamber and to deal with their luncheon, and they needed two presenters. So we brought in a piece of equipment where it was one button press.
Yeah.
Everything was set up in advance. Everything worked the way it was supposed to. Press one button. Everything went off without a hitch. Why? Because we have that kind of technology. We know that kind of technology, and we deal with it every single day.
I know my executive director, Simony Swatzina, loves you for that too.
And
President
like
Jody, Woody, you know yes. Jody. They're the ones that are in charge of setting that stuff up and for the speaker.
Right.
So they're the ones that have to worry about the button pushing, you know, to help the presenter.
And, you know, when we do that, we also make sure we're still there. It's not just drop off equipment and make sure it works and then see mm-hmm. it later. We'll come pick it up when it's done. No, we're there for your event. When something happens, you go, we take care of it.
Boom.
And that type of attention means that we're assuring you, you can focus on your event.
Yeah.
You can focus on your sales presentation. You can focus on whatever you're trying to do because it drives your business. And you can let us focus on the technology that lets you do that. And we can do that at different scales. You know, mm-hmm. we can do that in small environments. We've got partners around the region and even around the country. We can do that in larger environments. So everything that we do it at a size that small businesses can do. And we can scale up to whatever size business you want to work with us, because we build relationships and we don't have to be experts at everything because we know somebody who is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where our focus is.
You said different sizes, but is there a niche? Is there a certain lane that you want to stay within of certain kinds of businesses, certain kinds of venues? Or is it really just broad, whatever is needed?
Yeah, it is broad in certain contexts, and then it narrows down in others. So like with the web design business, we like focusing on local service providers And that can be, you know, a medical office. That can be a medical provider. That could be a plumber. That could be an HVAC person. Someone who's relational with their clients, who actually talks to their clients. A good business for us is not like a large e-commerce site that they just list stuff and it sells. We are relationship driven, and we care about making sure your relationship driven business has what it needs. So you stop worrying about the technology and you start focusing on the relationships, because that's what drives business. And as a result of that, we have business owners that just know, they just pick up the phone and call. They just shoot a text and say, I need this done. Or they work with the team and they schedule a meeting and they walk through what they want. But we also focus on fundamentals. One of the things that we see happening, talked with a potential client just the other day, and they said, here's our problem. We've spent thousands of dollars in the last 3 years trying to get web marketing for our business figured out. We've built new websites. We've fired three different companies. We've spent money on ads, and we have no return. That stems from not having the foundational stuff done.
Yeah.
These things, when you're dealing with a relationship-based local service provider business, there are foundational steps that if they're not done, spend all the money you want to on ads, you're not going to get a return. Because Google system, the algorithms, they require fundamental steps that are done right first. Otherwise, you're just flushing money down the toilet.
Like SEO?
SEO is one of them, but properly setting up a Google profile. You know, if your Google profile is telling Google one thing and then your SEO is telling them another thing and you're spending AdWords on something else, you're flushing money down the drain.
Let's, for those that might know what, you know, they hear the letters SEO. What does that mean?
Search,
you know, Google, you know, profile. What does that mean? So search engine optimization.
Absolutely.
But let's explain a little bit on how that works.
All right. So search engine optimization is a very broad discussion, but it basically comes down to some fundamental concepts, especially for local businesses. Google wants to bring you customers because it's in Google's best interest that when someone searches for a particular service near them on Google Maps or on Google Search, that Google presents them with a good option the first time. And that those search results are obviously weighted towards people who are paying for ads, okay, because that's in Google's best interest as well. But when you get past the ads, the sponsored content, and you get down to the real search results, you're looking at whose information, according to Google, best answers the question you're looking for, best gives you the result. So search engine optimization is really, at a very basic fundamental level, telling Google what you do, telling Google what you don't do, telling Google who the right customer is, and telling Google who the wrong customer is. And if you do that well, and then you layer on top of that Google reviews. So Google, as a self-interested corporation, wants to be the end-all be-all for online searching. All right.
I think they've got it covered.
They're pretty well in that position, but they're still self-interested. They want you to invest in them if they're going to invest in you. And it doesn't mean you have to spend money, but it does mean you have to use their systems and you have to feed their systems. Okay.
And you help people set this up.
Absolutely.
Right?
We not only help them set it up, we run it for them.
Nice.
So if somebody says, you know what, I have great customer service, I work with my clients directly, I run a business that delivers well for its clients, and our clients love us, and they come back to us again and again, that's the perfect type of business to grow on Google without even paying money to Google for ads. Because you can grow, and we can help you grow by helping your customers review you. But there's more to the secret sauce than just getting reviews, because everybody can get reviews, but Google wants your investment in Google. So there's other steps that go beyond that. So we work with you to keep running your business, not spend all your time on Google reviews, but we also give you proprietary methods to work on to get the right reviews from the right clients, while at the same time helping you with customer service by giving people who are dissatisfied for some reason a way to reach back to customer service instead of leaving a bad review. Because right. The reality is you want to take that bad customer experience and turn it into a good customer experience and then get them to leave you a Google review.
Use it as feedback.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. See, you know, one guy illustrated it this way. He said, I had a deck built on the back of my house and I loved the deck. The only problem was there was a gate on the deck and it didn't latch right. So I had this great deck built and I loved everything about it, but I had a $30 gate for a multi-$1,000 project and the $30 gate annoyed me.
Yeah.
So I hated the result of the multi-$1,000 project. Had there been an avenue for that customer to reach back out to that service provider who came and built a great deck and had them come fix a $30 gate, they would have had a great review.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only did they build a great product, yes, it had one issue, but they resolved the issue. They had customer service. What happens to most good businesses locally is they never find out about the problem.
It just instantly goes to a bad review.
That's right. Yeah. And because there's no loop and feedback back to the business for that customer service, or they missed the email, or the customer just never told them. They didn't know there was a problem. Then they get a bad review.
Mm-hmm.
So what our system does is help communicate, help the chain of communication come back to the business. And then when the customer is happy, because the business is a good business.
Mm-hmm.
The business cares about its customers. The business delivers great products and great services. When the customer's happy, the customer leaves a great review.
Mm-hmm.
And then we help the business build off of that. So it's targeting good reviews. It's targeting good clients. It's working on customer service with them. And it's growing, which is all the foundation piece that Google wants before you ever spend any money on Google Ads. Because Google doesn't want you to just spend money on ads and send, and they, as a result, send people to bad businesses. They want
that
to
doesn't
send,
look good on Google.
That's right. People stop using
every
Google's
time
ads.
I go to Google. Man, it just keeps directing me to garbage.
That's right.
Screw Google.
So the way businesses win with Google is not by spending tons more money on ads. It's by doing the first things first.
Yeah.
And we help them do those first things first.
And I have none of those first things first.
We're all a work in progress. We have our own problems.
I don't even know how to do it. And then that's the thing. That's what's invaluable behind it. Because I don't know how that works either. I don't know how to set that up. I know I should have it. It'd be really good for my studio, I'd gather. You know, so, but when you say you're telling Google, great client, not good client, this, you're giving Google information. Is that in like metadata? Is it in tagging? Is it just in the description that you're just like the actual text that's describing your business?
So there's a number of things that happen before Google becomes a part of it. So one of the things we can't do, we can't block reviews going to Google. But the thing that marketers don't like to tell you is that bad reviews aren't bad.
Because it's still activity?
Everybody has had a business relationship that somehow that job didn't go right. So one of the things that people readily recognize is if all I see are 5-star reviews, something about that company's fishy.
Yeah.
Did they buy the reviews?
Or you every, know, and we actually, cousin and
that's,
brother.
That's right. That's right. In. These aren't real clients.
Yeah.
Because real clients, real business is messy. Yeah. Sometimes.
And I have heard that. People like looking at that
4.6 is way better than 5.0.
Yeah.
Unless it's a brand new business that's just really killing it.
Mm.
You know, but the reality is eventually something happens and somebody leaves a bad review or somebody is just angry for some reason that had nothing to do with you.
I've looked at Amazon ratings and I'll read the 1-stars and you can just tell it's like, okay, it's tacky. It's ticky tack. you're just a grumpy person.
That's right.
Or you're trolling.
That's right. So, or it's a competitor trying to make give you a black eye.
You never know.
All of those things can exist. But what we try and do is give those reliable businesses that we work with the opportunity to do the customer service before the review happens. Again, sometimes it's they didn't know there was a problem. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's that the problem got lost in the flood of requests. But we give them the opportunity and we have a system in place where as we're asking for the review on their behalf, we're also saying, hey, if you had a bad experience, let us know first.
Yeah.
Tell us about it first. We can fix it. And the business gets that opportunity to go fix it while we can't gate the review. We can't block someone from getting to Google, and we don't. What we do is give them an outlet to a solution. And most people who are good customers, who are real customers, they'd rather have the solution than post the bad review, especially for a good, honest company that's a local service provider. Yeah. And so what we focus on is giving that bad experience a positive outcome by giving them a customer service path forward to get the issue resolved. And sometimes it's not resolvable. Sometimes it didn't have anything to do with the service provider. It, you know, it could be an insurance related thing. It could, there's all sorts of things that can happen. Mm-hmm. And we understand that. And, but we still give the business the opportunity to have the conversation. Now that they've had the opportunity to have the conversation, we reach back out for that review again.
Yeah.
Because they've had the conversation or they've resolved the issue. And now you, no matter what, as long as you communicated, you have a better reaction. You have a better review.
Because they got the outcome they were expecting.
That's right.
Even if there was an issue,
they
had good customer service.
That's right.
How often have we, you can't even find an 800 number sometimes to call. And it's just a nightmare sometimes to get something fixed.
And so, you know, anything we do in our business, our focus is relationships. Build the relationships for long term. Build the business long term, not just get one, get it done, get another one, get it done, and drop people as quickly as we get them.
Yeah.
That's not our business, and it's not the kind of businesses we want to partner with. We want people who are excellent, who do excellent work, who have a pride in their work, and they want to excel. They want to grow their business, but they don't want to spend, as a business owner, half of their week marketing when they didn't start the business to be a marketer. They started the business to run a business.
To be a service provider.
That's right. Yeah. Now, one of our best clients, though, are marketers. Because what they want to do is spend all day marketing. They don't want to do web hosting. They don't want to do the construction of the website. They want to bring in a partner. And so we love marketers. Okay. We love people
that
who
was
are like,
be my
hey,
next,
we're yeah. slamming it with businesses, but we've got a stack of websites that need to be done, or we've got a stack of projects that need to be handled, and we don't have enough people to do it. So PR firms and marketers, those we love them.
Ideal referral partners.
That's absolutely correct, because they come to us and they say, we need this one done. And by the way, while you're doing that one, we need that one done.
Right.
And while you're that, we need that one done, and we can scale and we can do that. And so we that same marketer that brought us that client that had the problem, we delivered on a 3-hour solution, but they have a client after that, a client after that, a client after that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's three at a time. And we're fine with that because we have that ability to scale.
So you can serve both sides.
That's right.
You can do the marketing and all of that, but then the marketers will need the computer side of things. Okay, we can do that as well.
Right. Yeah. And we don't, so one of the things we learned very early on in our web design business is that the promises of web hosting on the internet are often very inflated compared to what's actually delivered. Mm-hmm. And so we manage our own hosting. We focus on high quality, high speed servers and not just reselling somebody's hosting package. But at the same time, if somebody's like, we've got a great host, what we need is a great web designer, or we need a great builder, or we need something redone, Great, we can do that too. Yeah. It's more so we don't put our stamp of approval on a product we wouldn't use.
Yeah.
And that's true in the AV space. That's true in the web space. We know what quality looks like, and we won't use poor quality stuff in our own business. So why would we sell it to somebody else's business?
Have you ever had someone come to you about their website and said, look, my web dev bailed, flaked, disappeared. He has all the logins. I don't know how to access anything. I'm hijacked.
Yes.
You can fix that.
So there are some things we can do, and obviously there's some things we can't do. But one of the things we do is, because we're a relationship business, we hold their hand and we partner with them to bring about a solution, keeps their business going. That may look like a couple of different things. We know how to work with domain companies and prove ownership, prove that this is the business, not that guy who registered it. This is the, people who've been paying the bill, not that guy. And we know how to work those situations and work those scenarios. But we also know how to go, you know what? The only thing you have is your domain name login. Great. Give us that and we'll get as much as we can and migrate it, or we'll build it fresh and get you up in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We'll give you... Or 3 hours.
No, I'm just kidding.
the scenario, obviously, some things cost more. Mm-hmm. 3 hours is a different cost scale than 2 weeks or 3 months. But at the end of the day, if it matters to the business, what matters is what you lose if you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
What the cost is what you're going to miss out on if you don't deliver, or if you look like you're incompetent when you're a very competent company.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we focus on with our clients is, number one, backups and knowing where your logins are and knowing who has them and making sure that your data is secure, because we're very focused on technology that's reliable and services that can continue even when the person running the business, something happens to them. How do you get through a scenario where the main guy who knew all of that stuff was in a car wreck?
Yeah.
So one of the things we become is a trusted provider to make sure that there's continuity in the business if something happens. And that's part of our commitment to our clients, is they're never going to see us disappear.
I certainly learned the hard way. I'm just saying. Maybe I'm the example I'm talking about. But so let's talk about keeping yourself educated. Like, as we all know, technology moves so fast. Everything's changing constantly. Then in the podcast world, it's the next board, mixing board, the next mic, the next camera. In your world, the same way. How do you stay on top of these things? Like, do you have your method on studying? And then how do you then trickle that down to your staff and making sure that everyone is up to speed?
There's a couple of different ways to stay educated and stay current. The first one is partner with people on the cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
And learn from them. You don't have to be the smartest person in the room every time. So when you spend time with people who are better than you, there's always somebody better than you. I mean, let's face it, the best in the world have somebody come along later and beat them at whatever they were the best in the world at.
Mm-hmm.
So since there's always somebody better, as opposed to a mentality that says, listen, we won't work with anybody who's not inferior to us, we would rather build with people and work with people who are better than us, because we grow that way. But the other side is, yes, it is a constant knowledge intake. There's no other way to do it.
You have to keep up.
That's right. You do have to. And when a business in the technology space says we've made it, they're declining.
Yeah.
They're headed towards an inevitable demise.
Mm-hmm.
If they say we have hit a we've hit a roof, we've hit a limit, we can't go beyond this, then either they have the wisdom to pivot and to become excellent in a different way, or they quit and they go do something else. And so as we look at it, part of what we do is build relationships. That's always going to be the answer. That's the first answer. The second thing we do is learn from people who are at a totally different level than us and bring those insights down to our clients. And then the third thing is we just focus on learning, because we made a commitment to work in a space that is reinventing itself every 18 months.
Yeah.
And if you're in a space that reinvents itself every 18 months, you not only have to do troubleshooting, you have to be able to grow. And that's what we do.
The monster facing podcast production or any kind of content production is AI.
Mm-hmm.
AI, you can edit things differently. It's changing the landscape, and you can either pivot or lose work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm fortunate being the business owner. I can utilize these tools, which actually saves me money.
Right.
But not very cool for my editors.
Right.
So then they have to figure out a way, well, how can I battle this? How can I stay up with this? How can I utilize these tools for myself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just got to, you have to zig and zag. You have to accept what's in front of you and embrace it. I'll keep telling content creators out there, embrace AI. Just, it's a new tool.
So coming from an IT and technology background, AI sounds like this fantastical science fiction concept. It's not.
Yeah.
Okay. It is machine learning. All right. What you do in AI is you give massive amounts of data to massively powerful computers and you tell it, go learn what a human meant when they did this. Okay.
Mm.
So it's mimicry at its best. It's mimicry. It's not intelligence. It's mimicry. But
interesting.
So is so much else in this life. Okay. When we sit down with a computer and we take a text document and we copy and paste over to a new document, 60 years ago, that was a room full of secretaries and typewriters and carbon copy paper.
Oh my God. Yeah.
All right. So did copy and paste and the word editor kill a bunch of jobs? Yes. But technology only kills inefficient jobs.
Right.
Okay. So business owners, let's think about some of those scenarios, because one of the things we do is we counsel business owners. We counsel people who aren't technology people. How do I deal with the change? All right. The answer is I'm a lawyer. Okay. I'm a lawyer. What do I do a lot of? I fill out forms, the same form, the same way every day.
And wasting time.
And it's inefficient.
Yes.
Is AI going to kill a lot of paralegal work? Yes. Yes, it is. Not because there won't be a lawyer telling the AI what to do, but because the AI will do it at a fraction of the cost, the same way that there used to be a whole room of typewriters, people whacking away at those typewriters, and now you can copy and paste.
Mm-hmm.
There are jobs that will be lost to AI, but the same way that there are still secretaries, and there are still typists and there are still court reporters who are doing their job because they are skilled and efficient at their job.
Mm-hmm.
And because they bring a human element that humans require, AI is not taking those jobs.
Yeah.
And so as business owners who are worried about AI, content creators that are worried about AI, what they should be doing is building relationships. They should be looking for inefficiencies in their business and working to scale those out of their business through the use of technology. But then they ought to be partnering with people who do things at a level that AI will not do because it's mimicry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've never heard the term mimicry attached to AI.
It's interesting. It's just human mimicry.
Because we're telling it what to do. Like we're educating the AI, aren't we? The open right. AI. I use ChatGPT for a lot of different
extensively.
Things. Every time I'm putting a question in there or a command, it's just feeding it, isn't it? It's just
so we had a meeting a while back, hour and 20 minute long meeting, which we had online and we transcribed through a tool with Google.
Yeah.
We took the transcription, we downloaded it, and throughout the course of that, we were off-site somewhere. We didn't have somebody who could take notes. One person was in the car. We took that hour and 20-minute meeting that was transcribed through Google. We downloaded it, and we uploaded it to ChatGPT and said, give us a to-do list off of all the things that were discussed in this hour and 20-minute long meeting. Now, I could have had an employee sit there for an hour and 20 minutes listening to it, typing these things up. 30 seconds later, yeah. I had a to-do list of everything that was discussed during the meeting.
Yes. Right?
Is it wrong to have somebody who focuses on drafting to-do lists and project management out of a meeting? No.
Yeah.
But can every business afford to have someone dedicated to typing up notes from a meeting?
No.
No. Should they be? No.
Yeah, I certainly can't.
So small businesses, here's a resource for you. For $20 a month, mm-hmm. ChatGPT can take that transcription from that meeting and spit you out a to-do list so that you go do work that matters. And all technology does is solve inefficiencies. Now, will technology find solutions to inefficiencies that humans had not yet thought of? And the answer is yes. It's an expensive process. It is very expensive. There's a reason why for the most part, AI has been put out for free or at a very low cost because it's not free and it doesn't cost nothing. It costs billions of dollars. That's why Microsoft invested $10 billion in ChatGPT and OpenAI. Not because they wanted to give away a product for free, but because they wanted to leverage the humanity's willingness to use AI to scale what can be done with AI so that they can go to Fortune 500 businesses and Fortune 10 businesses and say, hey, we can make our tools do things that somebody else can't do. It's a competitive advantage.
Well, they embraced it. They're like, okay, right. How can we use this tool in our advantage?
Absolutely. Yeah. So when someone says, okay, my ears have turned to mush, I don't understand what all of this means. What it means is there are now opportunities to say, you know what? The fastest way to answer a question may not be Google anymore.
Yeah.
Which makes Google very concerned.
Oh, ChatGPT is.
But when you want to know what something is or how some theoretical idea works, the fastest way is no longer to Google it.
Nope.
It's to ask ChatGPT and then Google the things you don't understand that it tells you.
Right. Because when you Google
have
something,
a conversation with it.
When you Google, you get a bunch of links for blogs or tutorials.
It's all the best marketers.
Right. Which is valuable, just like if you do on YouTube. But ChatGPT will just give you the answer right there.
And you must always validate it because AI will give you incorrect information because it's like asking a six-year-old that is highly intelligent but has very little knowledge of the real world and very little wisdom and experience about something. Okay? May give you a great set of details and facts, but some of those facts need to be validated. So should you do all your marketing with AI? No.
Yeah.
Number one, because it doesn't sound like a human, right? Right.
Yeah.
Humans are still needed in this process.
So that's when like I'll write an email template. Or I'll write something up there. Then I'll throw it in Grammarly.
That's right.
And then you can direct it. Humanize, fun, you know.
Yeah.
I seriously do that. I'll ChatGPT, paste to Grammarly, paste to Google Doc, and there's my template.
And what you have described is a horribly inefficient scenario, but technology builds and it's less efficient. Yeah. It's more efficient than hiring someone to sit there and type your emails for you.
Yes.
All right.
Or copywriting's big in podcasting and
yes,
I don't need one anymore.
Yes, it is.
This is what it is, but.
Now, can you replace human ingenuity, humanity, and relationships with AI? No.
Mm-hmm.
So businesses that are going, you know what? I can't compete with the budgets of other people to spend on technology. Here's what you can do. You can be more personal. Because if anything is true about the Mid-South region, it is that business runs on relationships. You want to do business at the highest echelons of Memphis, you can do that, but you got to build relationships.
Yep.
If you want to do business with small businesses, you can do that, but you've got to build relationships. And the technology is great, but it stops at a point. And if you don't build relationships, and this is one of the reasons why I'm in BNI.
Same here.
It is because somebody asked me today, what is BNI to you? And I said, have you ever walked down the hallway of a government building where all the doors are closed? You walk down that hallway and it's a hallway with a bunch of closed doors. BNI, Business Networking International, is like walking down a hallway full of open doors.
And people standing outside of them.
And not only are they open doors, but the person inside wants to see you and they brought someone who wants to do business with you.
Yeah.
Relationships matter. And if you want, for big businesses that aren't from the Mid-South and they want to do business in the Mid-South, we have this conversation with manufacturers in the audio video space. We have manufacturers that make great products and they can't get into this market. Mm-hmm. And they said, why? I said, because you don't come and build relationships. You come to sell products. And so until you have someone in the area building relationships, you won't be a big player here. You won't do business here like others will because they come here.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Mid-South, for the Memphis area, for the Hernando area, for Byhalia, for Olive Branch, for South Haven, for Horn Lake, for all of those cities, they want to know who they're doing business with. They want to build a relationship with you from the mayors to the small businesses. They don't want to do business with a no-name conglomerate corporation that they can't sit down to with at dinner and build a relationship. Mm-hmm. So how do you build a business here? How do you grow your business here? You build relationships.
100%.
And you use technology to accentuate, to elevate, to educate, but you build relationships.
I can't send a robot to my Tuesday morning BNI chapter meeting.
We will not accept it.
You know what I'm saying? And if I, when opening the studio, and I want to eventually wrap it up with you here in a second, but this is a new venture for me. I'm a brand new brick and mortar, a year plus in. If I would have only relied on Google and social media to put my expertise out there and my credibility, this studio would have been locked up a while ago. Mm-hmm. It was BNI joining the chamber, shaking hands, going to ribbon cuttings, just getting out there. That's how these people get to know you, because people buy people.
And you focused on a concept, this core to BNI, and that is giver's gain.
Yeah.
Giving first. We are, to a degree, intrinsically self-focused as humans. But when someone gives of themselves first, people notice. They say, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. And when you are able to bring value to people, when you are able to enhance what they are capable of doing, when you're able to make them better, they remember that.
Of course, yeah.
And that's part of building relationships. If you walk into a room and you're all about you, and you're not about the person who you're there to work with, you're not a servant. You're not focused on them. You're not delivering good customer service. You're all entirely focused on you.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when you focus on the other person, guess what they have the opportunity to do? Focus on you. They have the opportunity to say, you know what? How can I help you? You have made a difference to me. How can I help you?
And I have so much fun when I can refer business to somebody.
Absolutely.
It makes me feel good, you know, for sure. Well, let's wrap it up. And while we're talking BNI, let's end it this way. So anyone that isn't familiar with BNI, everyone gets to stand up and do their own little commercial. Some chapters give you 30 seconds. Some of the smaller ones can give you 60. You know, today I'm going to give you BNI 120, 2 minutes, sir. And I'm going to start the timer and I'm going to hit this imaginary bell I have in front of me right at 2 minutes. In closing, a couple more minutes, Aaron, and give us just another pitch, if you will, like your BNI 2 minutes on what people can expect and who are good clients and who are good referral partners for you.
All right. So I'm Aaron Kozort, and I'm the owner of Wisdom Integrators. And we solve technology problems for businesses. We solve technology problems focused on your ability to get your message out and your ability to do business. If you're having problems in your business, we want to talk to you. If you're working to build other businesses and you're a marketer or you're a PR firm and you're like, we have a hole in the service providers we need to work with, we want to talk to you. If you have a facility and your facility is designed to help businesses make deals, but when businesses come into your facility, they have problems, we want to talk to you. If you have a presentation to make or you have a meeting that you need to coordinate and you're struggling with technology on a regular basis, we want to talk to you. And at the end of the day, what we want to do is we want to build a relationship with you, because relationships matter. And as you go through your life, we want you to spend less time dealing with problems and more time building your business.
Love it. Aaron Kozort, everybody.
Was that 120?
Man, I was going to give you 3 minutes. I was going to let it slide. But Aaron Kozort, thank you for doing this. Thank you for the business too. So, I mean, honestly, businesses pay to be on this. They're sponsoring and advertising their own episodes. So thank you, sir. And I think we should probably get paid by BNI for advertising them so much. But this doesn't happen. Doesn't happen with a handshake and getting to know each other over the last year and building this relationship.
That's right.
Just doesn't happen. So I appreciate you, sir. And please call him 901-625-0900 for all the needs that he just explained to you. WisdomIntegrators.com is the place to go to get all the information. And as always, please follow us on the Real Hernando Podcast Network. All the links are in the description. You're going to find this podcast on the Real Hernando YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Plus, it's going to have its own Apple channel out there. Search Cafe and Commerce on Apple, Spotify, and Google Pods. We're everywhere. It's a network. So thank you again for being a part of this network now. And to those watching and listening, thank you for being here. And you all have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Cafe and Commerce. To explore sponsorship opportunities and showcase your business on Cafe and Commerce, kindly access the form link in the episode's description or contact us at 615-944-4944. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and all other major podcast channels. And you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Go to therealhernando.com for all information. Thank you for your support and helping us shine a bright spotlight on our local businesses in DeSoto County and Greater Memphis.